Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to September 13th, 2025, A Cup with Pastor, where we talk about topics that come from the Lord, topics that are in the Word of God, topics that are going to give glory to God. And at the same time, we enjoy a nice cup of coffee or tea, as I've come to realize that many people drink tea or some just drink water. But it's good to, you know, be here and to be able to have a platform to share what God is doing through this podcast. And, you know, it's interesting because I never really, you never see the extent of how God uses it, that your ministries, especially when you're in podcasts or when you're in the online video, you don't ever really see unless somebody comments. And a lot of times people don't comment, but what they will do is they will, you know, reach, they'll see you somewhere and they'll reach out to you or, and they'll tell you how, you know, hey, how blessed they've been because of the podcast, or, you know, they'll give something that they just recently heard on the podcast. And, you know, and it's one of those things where we want to be sure that, you know, that we are doing our part, and our part is to do the podcast, and that's my part that God has placed inside. But it's also, you know, it's important that you encourage those people who do it, because there's nothing like hearing from somebody that the podcast has blessed you. What we have has blessed you, because it's important, because it encourages the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we keep moving. So, you know, I think it's just, I just want to say thank you for all those who are jumping on, for those of you who support. This is something that, you know, the Lord allows us to continue to do while we have a freedom of speech, while we have the freedom to voice. And I believe that the Lord had put this in my spirit. He confirmed it many times, and it'd been many years in the working. If y'all hear this at the beginning, because I'm giving you the introduction of how A Cup of Pastor came to be, but God gave me this, placed this in my spirit, and it didn't happen until like 6-7 years later. But it's, you know, it's the right time, the right moment. God knows everything. He has a plan. So I see that Sister Ruth Lujano, all right, protein in the AM. Okay, all right. Very different, but I know that, you know, you are definitely drinking something good that's going to help your body, so that's awesome. I see that Sister Kiana is saying, no coffee yet. Okay. No coffee yet. All right. Well, hey, welcome to today's podcast. And today I want to talk to you just in light of what we have. And, oh, actually, before I do that, I always go over what kind of coffee, what I'm drinking, right? I'm drinking coffee, actually. But the cup says, I don't know if you can see that. Let me see. Trust the journey. Right about there, you can probably see it. Trust the journey. You know, and it's you know, it's amazing how if you just live in the God, you can use me, you can speak to me at any time moment, something as simple as a cup will bring forth a message. Something God will use, whatever it is, either it's a cup, a pen that has the inscription on it, you know, I don't know, a paper, and you know, whatever it is. Good morning, Sister Rachel. You know, whatever it is, it's like it. God can use it. And this one today is Trust the Journey. And I wanted to start off by saying, you know, it's coffee. I drink coffee. But I want to say that, you know, in light of all these things that have happened over the past 2 weeks, you know, all of the just the violence, the hate that has continue to fill this world. You know, I think that it's something that we have to look back, and the cup, the name of this cup says Trust the Journey. And I was looking at it earlier the day before I got it, and I was like, you know what? That's exactly what we need to do, is trust that God has everything in control, that no matter how much and how crazy things get in life, in this world, God is still on his throne. Our Lord, our Savior is still up there on his throne, and he is in control of everything. Now, there is evil in this world. You might, you know, well, that would make you probably think, if you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you'd be like, well, then why do bad things keep happening? Well, because evil exists and bad things will keep happening. But the beautiful thing about it is that even in the bad things, God takes those bad things and turns them around and uses them to get glory for the good. In other words, he works things out for to them who love God according to his purpose for the goodness and the goodness of God. And I got to say, you know, trust the journey. This cup says trust the journey. We got to trust that God has everything in control, that he knows what he's doing. The word of God says in the book of Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, verse 6, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. One of my favorite two scriptures there, because it truly says that we have to trust that God is in control. And in this situation we find ourselves in with just, you know, as a nation is mourning 9/11, right? Can't forget about that. The many lives that were lost back in 2000, I believe it was 2001. I believe that's when it was, September 11, 2001. And, you know, just the lives that were lost, the people that have lost their lives, and the ones that fought to go and free them. We can't forget those people. But in light of this month that has been a little bit of a somber, you know, God is still going to get glory. People are going to still be encouraged to rise up. People are still going to be remembering the memory of those that were brave, that courageous. So I just want to say that this is, you know, something different this morning that God just barely, just right now, put that in my heart to talk about the journey here. And so you got to trust the journey. But more than anything, I really want to jump into what I wanted to bring. And that's a scripture that God had placed in my spirit. And I want you to read it. It's on your screen. And it says, it's from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Again, James, chapter 5, verse 15 through 17 on your screen there. The word of God says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. Listen to this last part. This is where it's so powerful. The effective, fervent, in other words, powerful prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other translation, it says that the prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working, and it is working. So the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working, according to the English Standard Version. I want to stop there, and this is where I wanted to spend some time today, because the Word of God first starts off by saying the prayer of the faith. In order for you to pray, you got to have faith. You have to believe. You have to understand that what you're praying, you got to know that when you're praying, it is meaning something. It is moving. It is working. God is working through your prayer, because that's what the Word of God says, and the prayer of the faith will save the sick. And then the word of God says, and the Lord will raise them up, meaning the Lord will hear the prayer, heal that person, and raise them up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. In other words, it is the confessing and that being in prayer moment that's going to help people, help you pray for these people that are going to be able to be healed, that are going to be able to overcome the darkness that's in their lives. But the prayer of faith doesn't happen if you don't believe. You have to believe what God says. You have to believe what the word says. You have to believe that God can, he will, and he continues to do what he said he's going to do. It is all scriptural. You have to understand that when you believing and faith, and having faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Prayer, you know, goes hand in hand with faith, because it requires you to hope that, hey, when I pray that God is listening, God is hearing me, and that prayer will be honored by God. And it's a petition, right? It is straight a petition. And then at the very bottom, you see where it says, confess your trespasses to one another, confess your faults to one another, your sins, what you've offended people with, how you've been offended, confess that to one another, that you may be healed. And I think that's the thing, that we have gotten to this world where now, as you know, from the prior things that have just recently happened, it's no longer, you know, it's easy to say it's no longer safe to share and to share and pray for one another, and to share who you are, and to be bold for what you believe, and to speak, and, you know, because this world needs healing. The people need healing. You have two sides right now that have emerged from this, all these tragedies that have just happened. You have a side that is where I stand and support, and that is that. This, you know, these unfortunate deaths of this young lady, the Ukrainian lady, you know, the Catholic school that the children that lost their lives. You have them as well. You have Charlie Kirk, and you know, you have all these people. And on our side of the camp, we know that you know, Charlie Kirk was a good man, and he fought for the things. You know, he fought to have conversations. Good morning, Sister Nidia. He fought to have a conversation, a voice amongst those that said, be quiet. We don't want to hear that side. Keep quiet. Keep silent. Don't talk about that. We don't care about your side. We don't care about what the Bible says. We don't want anything to do with the Bible. And this is where we find ourselves today in our society, is that little by little, as the Word of God predicts, you know, the man's lawlessness is going to continue to increase. Which is that? What does that mean? They don't want to be held accountable. People don't want to know about the Bible. People don't want to be believers in Christ, in Jesus Christ, because they want to be able to live to the according to the desires of their flesh, however they want. So when you think about it, it's nothing new that we're fighting against, but it's now magnified where an early form of persecution has already started against the people who believe in Christ. And I stand on this side, you know, on the side of righteousness, where I believe that Charlie Kirk did have a biblical foundation. He did have guidelines. He did have things that he would talk about and challenge, because he one of his biggest things was the family. The family, you know, building the family, a wife and a husband, having children, fulfilling the great, you know, command of the Lord to go and be fruitful and multiply, and, you know, and fill the earth. This is something that I know for sure that Charlie Kirk was really heavy on. He demonstrated in his own family. And you know, now you have this other side that's like, oh, he was a racist and he was this, and they make it about the, you know, the color of the skin, the black and white thing, and they make it about, why are we honoring him, and they don't understand, and he was a fascist and all these things. And he, you know, because at the end of the day, there, you know, I'm not making this a political speech at all in any way. I just want you to know there are two sides. There's good and evil. That's it. It comes down to that. Remove all the players in this game and leave the spirits of what exists, of who's controlling who. And the Holy Spirit is what controls our side. But the demonic world and the influence, it comes from Satan himself. So in essence, you're still fighting the same old battle of good and evil, with the exception that, you know, now, you know, we still live in this world. So we're still, you know, having to face these things. So when the Word of God speaks about the prayer of the righteous availeth much, you know, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Right now, that's what we need to be doing as people that are, you know, watching. And first of all, do not let your voice be silent. That's what I would also say. You speak the truth if you have the truth. If you don't have the truth and you're trying to speak out lies, then you need to be quiet. You absolutely do. You need to go and restudy and understand what God's plan is for your life, and pray that God would reveal that to you so you can speak the truth. But the truth is the Word of God. And if the Word of God is being preached, if the Word of God is being, you know, defended, then we must stand with the Word of God, because that is our calling as Christians and the body of Christ. So being able to confess to one another, being able to be like, hey, you know what? I was wrong. Hey, let's have a conversation in love, and let's disagree if we have to, but let's do it in a loving way, not where somebody has to lose their life because they don't believe the same way. I mean, that's really, really pathetic and horrible that somebody would lose their life, you know. And as this would happen, this would go on, you know, this past event of Charlie Kirk, and everybody's talking about it, you know, it's very big. I believe that God has allowed it to be big. People are like, why is this such a big deal? Because God has allowed this to be a turning point, which was one of the name of his business, his company was, you know, one of his initiatives was Turning Point USA. I mean, goodness gracious, you can't get any more prophetic than that in a way, but it's true. It's God's way of saying, calling back to the people of America, calling back to the body of Christ, saying, wake up. This isn't a game. And so as we look at that powerful, effective, you know, of the prayer of the believer, of somebody who's praying, we need to be praying for our nation. We need to pray for one another. We need to, if we're struggling with something, this month is also known as Suicide Mental Awareness Month. It's another month that they, or mental awareness. No, I think it's Suicide Mental Awareness.
This is huge, church. We have to, body of Christ, that you're listening out there, we have to be that beacon. We have to get people to understand, look, we can agree to disagree on certain things. I have good pastor friends of mine that, you know, that live near, live far, and we don't always agree on the same thing. We don't, you know, one of my closest ones, we don't agree on when the rapture is coming. You know, we have we're different on, I believe in the pre-trib, you know, my good pastor friend believes in more of the mid-trib, or if not post-trib, you know. And but it's okay to disagree, because that's not something that we should be holding on to as like, oh man, this is going to make or break us. We're not going to be friends anymore. I'm going to cancel you out. And no, it's okay, because at the end of the day, we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We believe He is the Almighty God. We know the truth. We are both men of God. We have a good friendship, and I love Him as much as He loves me in Christ. And it's okay. And even my friends that are out of the city, there's some things that we don't agree on, but that's okay. We have to get to the point where we're able to talk out of love, from a loving place, even though we don't agree on certain things. And it should never be to silence the voice of the other person, And that's what I believe what Charlie Kirk did. He allowed not to be silenced, is what I meant. He didn't allow them to silence his voice, and he gave people a platform to debate him. Think about that. How many of you would really go and really be going to a college university where it's, you know, some of these college universities are very liberal in their way of thinking. When I mean liberal, I mean they have no foundation. They just based off emotions. And he went to go debate them. He would allow them to debate him, and he would give them a microphone. They can say whatever they wanted to say in that moment, and he would, you know, they debate healthily. How many of us can say we would do that? We don't, because we would be like, dude, I don't want to hear you anymore. Get out of my face. Because that's the way, you know, that's the way our nature is. But the Word of God says that we are to, you know, confess our trespass to one another, talk to one another, have a conversation with one another, understand, let people know that you're praying for them. Let them see the love of Christ through your conversation. It should never come from a place of, hurt, or another place of hardness or hating in a way, but confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. And he says, the Word of God says that you may be healed. You notice that it says that you may be healed. Why is there healing when you're confessing something, when you're talking to somebody, when you're talking it out, when you're having a conversation that you need help, or, you know, why is that so big? Because you are confessing, you're fulfilling what the Word of God says, because internally you are releasing what the devil has tried to let you hold on to, and you are surrendering that. This is why I tell people all the time, you know, I hear it quite a bit from different people, and they always say, well, you know, they'll tell me about a situation where they got wronged, or somebody said something about them, and they were there in front of that person. And then you tell them, then why didn't you say something to that person? And then they would tell you, well, I didn't want them to feel bad. Oh, I didn't want to make them feel upset. I'm like, how does that even make sense? And I'm speaking to you out there, by the way, you know, we all go through this. I'm speaking to every one of you, including myself. We all go through this moment where we're in front of people that have said something wrong, they're offending us, whatever the case may be. And instead of us speaking up in that moment, we don't. We shy away, and we're like, no, I didn't want to deal with it at that moment. But then here you are holding on to something that happened a year or two or 3 years ago, and you're still upset. You're still bothered because you have not confessed that to that person that, hey, I was bothered by this. So you continue on and you're not healed. And the internal healing never happens. And I think that's where this world is, because there's only one side that says, listen to us. Don't listen to the other side. This side is very known for the violence. I'm talking about the violent side. I'm not even going into political spectrums. I'm talking about good and evil. The evil side says, don't talk. The evil side says, you're not allowed to express yourself, because if you make me feel bad, I'm going to let you know that you did that. And I'm going to tell you in a prideful way, and we're going to come up and do all these things, and your life is in danger. That's one side of the spectrum. But that's where this world is. This world is in that sensitive mode where you can't say anything that contradicts their truth if we have the true truth according to the Word of God, because then we become enemies of them. And now on the other side, we have the side that is the good side, that has the body of Christ, the Word of God inside of us, and has, you know, we are in the good side, that we should be speaking the truth. But what happens is we allow the fear of evil to limit our voice. We allow the fear of evil to, you know, to limit what we say, how we say things, because we're afraid that if this other side, this, you know, this belief system of you can't speak, you got to accept what I tell you, if we allow that system to, you know, get in our lives, then we lose everything. So, and that's what we're kind of, that's where we're at with things in this world today. We have voices that have not yet arose because they've been afraid for so long. But I think that, and I believe that with this recent, all these recent things, people, God is going to use people to rise up, to speak, to be a voice, and to speak for his truth, not your opinion. I'm not, let me clarify what I'm trying to say. I'm not talking about speaking your opinion. Well, I tell them how it is. That's the spirit of pride. The moment you tell me that, I just tell them how it is. That's who I am. I'm that person. I'm just going to tell you how it is. Yeah, that's the spirit of pride that works inside of you to be that bold to say it. You know, there's a different way to say that. You can just be like, you know what? I can only be truthful with you. That's a different way of saying, I tell you how it is. I'm going to just tell you. You know me. You know, I don't hold back. Yeah, that's because you're in the flesh and that's pride. So I want you to make sure, I want to make sure you're getting that. You know, you have that form, but in our world today, we have the silencing side that doesn't talk to one another, doesn't confess to one another their trespasses, so they're not healed. So this side of people that don't want to hear the Bible, don't want to hear about church, they don't want to hear about what God is doing in your life, it's because more than likely they have hurt inside. And that's what the Lord is trying to deal with. He's trying to deal with the hurt, not trying, he is dealing with the hurt of these people of this world that needs Jesus. And that's where you got to come in if you're a believer and understand, you know, be bold, yes, but do it with love. You know, speak the truth, but do it out of love and compassion. Have compassion for that other person, knowing that, hey, you just never know. You may be able to say something like this young man, Charlie Kirk, did to people and inspire people that didn't think like you to be like, you know what? You were right. You know, I'm inspired to seek the truth for myself. I'm inspired to look forward more into it. And that right there is what the Word of God is being fulfilled in that the fact that you're having a loving and compassionate conversation, but you're also spreading the gospel and holding on to the foundation in the Word of God. Look, the issue is that this world doesn't want the Word of God. That's where we're at. So, you know, I tell you that we need to bring the Word of God in every conversation we have. It should never be, I feel because of your opinion, or I think because of your opinion. It should always be, what does the Word of God say? And this is what I get from the Word of God, because this is what's in here. Now, going to the prayer part, I want you to know that your prayer is absolutely needed for not only for, you know, for the family of Charlie Kirk, not only for the family of this Ukrainian woman that sadly lost her life, not only for the children and the people that have continued to lose their lives across the country, you know, the ones that, you know, that die every day, and for those families, we need to put prayer back in here. We need to bring prayer back into our country. We need to bring the ability, because why? Because the Word of God says that prayer is powerful and effective of a righteous person. So, you know, I thank God, because when people say, hey, can you put this person in prayer? Can you put, you know, I have a prayer request. Can you pray for me? Or, you know, can y'all keep me in your prayers? I have a good, you know, just good feeling that God puts in my spirit, you know, because I know that when I pray with power and effectiveness, because the prayer comes from, you know, is honored by God, and God fulfills it, as the scripture says, as you see here on your screen here. The scripture says, you know, that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I believe that when you tell people you're going to pray, you should be believing that scripture, saying, hey, if I'm praying for you, it's because I know it's powerful and effective. Now, I've been in situations where God has, I have prayed for people to be healed, and it has not happened. I have prayed for people to survive when they were in the hospital. It has not happened. You know, and those are questions that I just can't answer as to why God didn't do it, aside from God's plan is greater than our plan. That's what you always have to remember. God's plan is not our plans. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. It's pretty much simple there for you to grasp that. So the fact that, you know, why did this have to happen? Why does this these tragedies continue to happen? You know, God only knows, but I will tell you one thing, that when I pray to fulfill what that faith is, and that is hoping for something that I cannot yet see, but I'm praying and pleading that God would honor the prayer. So you have the power of prayer. You have that power, and that's what I wanted to talk to you, you know, about today, is that you have the ability to go and change this world. If you're going to be bold for Jesus, but do it so in a loving, humble, with humility way that God's movement, his presence, his spirit can use you because you are not being prideful, can use you because you're not being hateful, can use what you have because you are not in the flesh. Let move in the spirit, operate in the spirit of the Lord, and let that be your fruits. Let that be your character. Let God use that cup, you know. Let him use your cup because it's able to be filled because, you know, you have established yourself around the word of God in truth and in love and in compassion. And this is what our world needs. We need compassion. We need prayer. We need to bring back. You need to be praying for our government. I heard my Uncle Paul on one of his posts. He had did a video. I was able to listen to it just like a day ago. And he was absolutely right. He said, we need to pray for our government officials. We need to pray for those in position. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for those in our city, those that have the ability to change laws. We need to keep all these people in prayer because there is power. We just read it. There is power in the prayers of the righteous. It availeth much. It's plentiful. It is powerful, effective. You know, and that's what that verse says, 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We have the ability to change still this world. We are still breathing, you know, but I would ask, you know, how much prayer do you spend? How much time do you spend in prayer? Are you talking to God? I try to make it a point to, even if I can't get on my knees and pray in that day, that I'm still talking to him. That it's almost like the conversation never stops. It's almost like, you know, you're going throughout your day, but you're talking to him like you were talking to I talked to my spouse in a way, you know, when we're there and we're walking, and that conversation should be happening between you and Christ. That's the relationship that he desires. That's walking in and abiding in him, is knowing that, you know, you are speaking to God, you're speaking with God. And that is the part of the prayer that we need to bring back, is that we need to bring back that prayer moment that allows you to get in connection with God, stay connected to God, and that you are praying to God at all times, right? Letting all praise be continually be in your mouth. That is powerful. It's effective. That is what's going to change this nation, you know, and I believe that the events that have happened, that God is sounding a trumpet. He is speaking out, and he's calling to those who have been lukewarm. You know, if you're lukewarm out there, you know, this is for you. You know, you're in the church one moment, you know, you go get filled, then you're with your friends. You cannot fight the friend temptation. You're out there doing things that God does not honor, that does not bring honor to God, to the word of God. It's against it. You're out there saying things you shouldn't be saying. And guess what? You know, you are slowly becoming more lukewarm. And this is your call. This is your chance. All these events don't happen just for a reason. The fact that they happen from in a public setting too is the Lord's way of saying, wake up. So that's going to be a preaching I have for tomorrow, by the way, for those of you who attend Jubilee Ministries and are in my ministry, you know, wake up, something around there. The Lord has already put it in my spirit. So if you don't have a church, I'm going to throw a plug in here. We are Jubilee Ministries, and we want you to be fulfilled in your walk with Christ. And you can always, always drop by, and we will love you and care for you as our own. But all right, so we're about that midpoint mark. So you know how we row here. What I like to do is do the cup, you know, the cup with Pastor. So yeah, I'm going to throw it in the chat here. Drop it in the chat. In Jesus for a chance. If you want a chance to win, a free drink on me. Either, I don't know, usually it's the easiest. Dutch Bros, Starbucks. Drop it in there. Drop coffee in Jesus in the chat so you can be entered into a raffle. I do a raffle after this, probably later on in the day. I'll raffle off your name, and if you win, you actually, hey, you get a free cup of coffee or something, whatever you want to drink. That's at that place. So drop it in the chat. I know that some of my normal followers that are working today, the ones that jump online with us, because this is a live stream podcast. So I do two things. I go live stream for, so that you can see me and I'm talking to you live. And then we do also a I do a podcast, and this audio is recorded and put into the podcast series. So, you know, pretty awesome, because we're using technology. We're just speaking about practical things that God just puts in our spirit, and it's beautiful. So, all right. So hopefully you got coffee and Jesus in there. I'm seeing the chats, chat light up already there with everything. Great. Espresso shots and Jesus. That's what Sister Rachel says. Espresso shots and Jesus. That's what's up. I mean, hey. The most important thing is Jesus, right? So, all right. Let's bring it on back here. All right. So, I've been talking about James, the book of James, chapter 5. I'm going to bring it up again. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. We've been speaking about the power of praying and how it's effective of a righteous man. And when you are walking in Christ and you are praying for people, you know, all of that, it's important. James gives us for a reason, because he wants us, he's letting us know that, hey, it's important to pray for one another. It's important to keep praying for this nation. It's important to allow prayer to enter back into the nation, because when you have prayer, you're protected. I don't know if you realize that. When you pray over, like, I protect my kids and my wife and myself, like, every day in the morning, as they leave and all that, I'm asking God to protect them, not just physically, you know, but spiritually as well. Not just spiritually, but physically, vice versa, however you want to start off with, you know. But it's powerful, because we know that God's protection goes with them, before us, beside us, all around us. That's his favor. And because we have favor with God, he wants to bless us, and he's going to take care of us. And this is important for you. This is how you should be starting your day. You need to cover yourself. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what conquered all sin, all death, the power that came from the blood of his sacrifice. That is what gives us the power and authority to be able to say, in the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, because it is through his blood, the innocent shedding of blood, that we are redeemed, that we are made whole. And so when you cover them with the blood of Jesus, you're covering them, and you're allowing the Lord to use his angels, his presence, to protect them. And this is how we should be walking out. You need to be protecting your family. You need to be covering your family. In other words, your pastors, you need to cover your pastors. Pray for us too. Pray for our families. Because it was like I was explaining to one of my daughters the other day. I said, you know, as a leader, our ministries are always going to be at the very top of the magnifying glass. It's the biggest thing that they're going to focus in on. Always, always. They don't care who you are until you start having a voice. When you have a voice, now you become a magnified, you know, result of a magnifying glass. And I tell you that because if you're in leadership or you seek to desire or you have a voice, if God has given you a voice, use your voice. Use it for good. Use it to give glory to God, but know and trust that when you have a platform, a voice, you are going to be attacked. You're going to have different attacks. People are going to not gonna agree with you. Even people in the church don't agree with you. I've run into that. They don't always agree with my, you know, my congregation probably doesn't always agree with what I say, especially when I touch up on their little Disney flicks, all those little Disney things. You know, I know that they're not really big on me giving all, you know, the exposing that stuff. But hey, you know, my job isn't to convince them and say, you know, you bet, or force them to do it. My job is to persuade them to believe in the truth, to see it for their own eyes. So prayer is important. It goes hand in hand with the believer. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas when they had jailed them and they had been locked up, it was the prayers of the people, the church. The word of God actually says in the book of Acts that the church had prayed continuously. That, you know, they prayed with fervent, you know, they prayed with power, and they were able, because of them, God allowed, you know, Paul and Silas to be released from prison, for the earthquake to happen, because for the prayer of the saints were praying. And man, every time I hear that, I'm like, that is powerful. What would happen if your church begins to focus on, you know, prayer, on bringing prayer back into your life and bringing prayer back to this community. El Paso needs prayer. I will tell you that right now. We need a lot of prayer. We have a lot of lost young individuals that, you know, believe that the answer is behind a wheel with a beer bottle, drinking, or already under the influence and taking a life because they drove drunk. You know, not just young people, older people, you know, man, we had a problem with that. And the only thing that's going to change things in this, in the physical realm, is prayer. It's prayer. So I'm encouraging you to develop a life, to develop something of prayer, to start getting started with prayer, create a routine, get, you know, find a way when you wake up or when you go to sleep, whatever it is, and begin to speak to God. You know, I hear people tell me all the time, I don't know how to hear from God. And I'm like, I don't even know how to speak to him. I'm like, just speak and believe that he's hearing you because he knows you. And, you know, it is that that we have to take into consideration. We need to just make it simple and be like, hey, you don't need to pray to the 50,000 saints of the St. Mary and St. John's of the world, or to the Jehovah's, you know, Witness Bible, that it's not the Holy Bible. You don't need to do that stuff. All this Mormon stuff, all these, you know, Allah stuff, this whole Islamic stuff. You know, you don't need to go pray to, you know, to the prophets. You just need to pray to Jesus. That's it. Jesus Christ rose and died on the cross. You know, he died and rose on the cross, and he is the God. He is the one that we serve. He is still alive. You won't find his body. Go look. They've tried to find his body. You find an empty tomb. What does that tell you? That he has resurrected. He is the only one that it matters. And we need to get and start establishing this in our world today, that prayer is absolutely necessary for the protecting of our, of who we are, for the protection of our families. Your family should not be leaving out of that house uncovered, unprotected. All right. We need to be protecting our families. So when we think about prayer overall, as I, you know, going through this, the way these events have been evolving, I believe that it is through the prayers of the saints that are across the world and in this country that God is going to raise and rise up and bring up something powerful, a movement of God that's going to be like unlike any other. You know, as I've been following some of these prophetic words that have been being released by some of the, you know, people that have been trusted, I've seen their prophecies, and God has given them prophecies, and they've been trusted. They are saying this is the last call. You know, I was reading one from a very reliable, solid prophetic word. And she's not even from the U.S., but she's from Ireland. I think Sister Nidia knows her, Veronica West. And she had said, you know, that the Lord had just put in her spirit that this is the last call because the mercy has been fulfilled. Like, the mercy is full. In other words, it has already completed. Where the word of God says that he is waiting, he is patient, so that all would come to repentance. Well, that mercy is at the full point already, where it's time now for him to return. And that is something that, you know, we just have to embrace and appreciate that God is almost here. But in the meantime, we will suffer a form of persecution. We will suffer many things. We will suffer and endure a bit more hard times, because it's going to get worse before it ever will get better. And the only time it's going to be better is when we are in the arms of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, when we're up there in heaven with him. That's when it gets better. But up until then, it's going to increase. So if you don't have a prayer life, I'm encouraging you right now, get a prayer life. You're going to need it, because these next few months, years, decades, whatever comes your way, you are going to need to know that you have to believe by faith in Christ, and you're going to need that prayer moment. If you don't have a prayer life and you don't talk to God hardly ever in your prayer closet, you are a sitting duck. You're unprotected, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, you start believing something that should have never, ever been believed. So I'm giving you this encouragement today, because I believe somebody out there needs to hear this, whether you're listening or whether you are watching live. It's time to get back to our prayer closets. It's time to pray for our churches and for us to stop allowing division to divide our churches. The body of Christ is made up of many churches. Your church isn't the only one that's going to heaven. I want you to hear me clearly. Your church is not the only one going to heaven. There are many other churches. They may not believe exactly according to your traditions and your doctrine of tradition. But I'm telling you right now, if the Spirit of the Lord is with them and they believe upon that name of Jesus Christ and they walk and abide in him, they are part of the body of Christ that will see the return of Christ. But if you don't have a prayer closet, if you don't have a prayer moment, you're not praying, then your prayer, and you don't even, if you don't believe in what you're praying, then your prayers aren't effective and they're not righteous and they're not powerful. You have to believe with power, knowing that God is the one that does everything. It's almost like you sign, you know, you declare it, you write it on the sheet, like the old days of the king, you'd write everything, or they would write it as he was telling them, and then the king would go put his seal on it. This is official. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. We put it in prayer. We lift it up. We begin to pray for people. We give the request, and God stamps it and seals it with his approval. And he says, it's done. Go take it to the messenger. You know, go get the message out. Go get it done. That's the way the Lord works. So when I tell you that, number one, we need prayer, I'm telling you because I know and I understand from a perspective of, as I look at myself, we need more prayer. We need to get closer to God. Number two, the word of God also says to confess your trespasses to one another. Look, you need to find somebody that you can talk to, somebody you can trust and say, hey, even if it's a pastor, even if you want to reach out to me on the side, you're more than welcome to. Hey, I'm struggling with this. I've been dealing with this. I've not been able to break free from this. I have a problem with this. You know, I'm encountering this situation. I don't know how to talk to somebody. That's the part of that this world is trying to, the enemy's trying to do is silence people. He's trying to say, be quiet, don't talk. You're all by yourself. No one's going to care. And that's not true. You need to be able to speak. If you're going through something mentally, if you're fighting something spiritually, if you're going through a hard time and or maybe you're dealing with an addiction that you can't break, maybe you're dealing with a certain feeling you can't let go of, and you need to go to somebody you can trust and say, I need help. I don't know how to defeat this. So that we can help you, so that we can get you the help you need. But don't take it upon yourself if you don't even have a prayer moment. If you don't have prayer closets, you don't have, you know, you're not involved in that. Or if you are and you're just feeling it's hopeless, the word of God says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. This is the part, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Healing only happens when prayer exists. Many, many, many of our stories, my wife and I, our testimony of our life has been that God has moved tremendously when we involved the prayer in that moment, when a prayer was uplifted, when we spoke out a prayer, when somebody else was praying for us. That's when God came through. That's when the power and effectiveness of the righteous person, the way the word of God says, of a righteous man, that's when it became effective. And I'm telling you right now that if you're out there, you cannot afford to be prayerless. You cannot afford to be prayerless. The devil is coming hardcore against everything and anything in our lives. You have to be shielded with the shield of faith in prayer. And also for those of us who have, you know, a platform to speak, we have the ability to speak, and we're bold for the Holy Ghost. We're bold for the word of God. Hey, we need prayer to protect ourselves, to have protection upon us too. Because as you saw, the enemy always will attempt to kill the messenger. The enemy will always attempt to destroy and silence the messenger, because if he can kill the messenger, he'll kill the message. And the message is what comes from Christ. The message is what's going to bring forth the hope. All right. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you're in war and, you know, you didn't know if you were winning or not, and you send back a letter gets sent, and that letter is saying that, hey, you know, we have the victory. We're going to flank them on this side and we can take them and win this. And, you know, the enemy knows that message is going to go out. He's going to try to stop everything he can. He's going to throw everything he can to stop and kill that messenger so that the hope doesn't reach the people that it needs to reach. And that's what Satan is doing. Satan is trying to hijack through fear, through intimidation, through canceling, the cancel culture thing, you know, all of that. He's trying to get us to be quiet, to stay silent, so that the message doesn't get to the people that need the message, so that the hope doesn't get to the people that need the hope. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we cannot be silent when it comes to the things of the Word of God. We have to be bold. We have to be courageous. We have to not be afraid. And, you know, I believe that that's where this young man, Charlie, was. Charlie was in a point where he was not afraid. He knew, you know, I know he knows, and he knew at one point that, you know, there was a big risk because you're debating people on an open campus. But to him, as his wife has announced, it was worth it all. to proclaim the faith, to be courageous. One of the things he actually said he wanted to be famous for, or not famous, I take that back, not famous, but he wanted to be remembered is the better word. I'm sorry. Remembered for was his courage for his faith. That's why we celebrate this young man and what he did, because it was his faith that he used to stay near the Word of God. It was his faith that helped him stay consistent with bringing forth topics that challenge the, well, you got to accept this, and this isn't right, and you know you're telling me it's not right, but it is right. I feel it's right. You can't tell me anything different. It challenged the true, the false narrative. It challenged what was false, because only the truth says that God has created man and woman for man and woman, not for woman and woman and man for man. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God is clear. Nations were destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah. If you want to go look and be like, I think you're just making this up, go to the Old Testament, look at Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their unnatural desire for one another, and they turned to unnatural desires for human beings, period. God allowed destruction to come upon that nation. Why? Because they were in a false, way of living that did not bring any honor to God, did not align to the Word of God. So, but you know, look how amazing it was. And I was thinking about this the other day that, you know, God spared for a moment. He allowed this one family to leave that place because they were found to be righteous. One family, that's it. You know, like, that's craziness. Like, that is, he destroyed the whole entire, but he allowed one because of the righteousness. And the righteousness is built in prayer. Righteousness is built when you're one-to-one with God. And so I'm praying that you're getting something from this today. This isn't like a political debate kind of podcast and all that. I don't study that stuff enough to really say, like, I can go debate somebody. But I do study the Word of God, and I will stand with the Word of God. And if the Word of God says that, you know, it's wrong, it's wrong. End of the story. I don't care. You know, I don't feel that it's wrong. And well, then you can go in your own feelings and emotions, and I'm not your God. You're going to have to deal with God. You'll have to answer to Him, not me. But I want you to be encouraged with this word that, hey, God is moving inside of this new generation. As much as this generation has encountered, as much as we think, oh my gosh, God bless this generation for the crazy things that they say and do, but there is going to be a generation, this last final remnant, that's going to arise, and God is going to use this generation to reach people as this young man Charlie did. He's going to use, you know, pillars that are going to come out, and they may, you know, yeah, they may pay a price, an ultimate price, but to them, it's worth it because they paid the price for what they believed in, and that was the truth, the Word of God. So, you know, I want you to be encouraged today. Be encouraged with this word. Know that God is working in your prayers. Know that when you go and you pray for people, that God can heal them through you because of the power that He has. Not your power, His power. Know that when you confess to one another, when you go to somebody and you're like, hey, I want to get something off my chest, man. I was a little bothered by this. And you release that, how much better does that feel in your spirit? You know, how much better does that feel? Some of us carry things that we carry things towards our pastors. We carry things towards our, and we don't say it, and we try to put it off. Like, no, I'm good. I'm good. No, I'm good. But deep inside, we have issues. We have things that have not been confessed. So we have not been healed in that part of our lives. Because the way you get healing to the Lord, for the Lord, or, you know, from the Lord, is that you have to confess with your mouth what it is, whatever it is that you've done, and that allows it to be released. And many of you that are watching or listening, you hold things inside that have not been released. You're holding on to something. Maybe some of us don't even realize it's there, but you're still holding on to something that's keeping you from receiving your full breakthrough, that's keeping you from being healed. And it's that healing that I believe in prayer God is going to reveal to you that you need. There is a healing that God can reflect and share with you so that you live a life that is the way it's supposed to be, not full of bitterness, not full of hate. You know, I mean, no, it is something that God gives us the ability to have prayer so we can get realigned to the way He thinks, to the way He wants us to move. We get realigned. We go and we empty out that filthy, you know, cup of whatever junk we've allowed to be in there. He empties it out. He cleans out that cup in prayer, and he allows us to be filled again so that we can be used to go and preach the gospel and to go and preach the word of God to others. And, you know, I want you to be encouraged by that, because in your prayers, in our prayers, we're praying for you. You're praying for me. Hey, there is power in prayer. We just read about it. Keep praying for your nation. Keep praying for the president. Keep praying for his cabinet. You know, if he's not who you voted for, then pray for him that, you know, that God would give him wisdom to do the right thing, to make the right decisions. You know, you're talking about a whole entire nation is run by one person and his cabinet. You know, I mean, it's not easy. It cannot be. Running a church, pastoring a church can be a little challenging with the individuals that have different ways of thinking. They, you know, all this, it's just the way it is. Imagine a nation like, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for these families that have lost, not just in the media, that these families that are losing people on the weekends to their, you know, loved ones, to drunk drivers, loved ones, to people doing horrendous crimes to them. We need to pray for those people and those people that are, you know, those families, so that God can work in the forgiveness and the mercy of it and bring them to him, because that's what our goal is. So this is the last call. You know, I want to say, as I end with this, this is the last call. The mercy that God has been waiting for everyone to receive, mercy has been, it's there. It's there. We are maxed out. We are, you know, very, you know, soon it's coming. It's coming. I don't know when. And I get it. You know, you can throw that back at us. And well, you've been saying that for many, many years. Yeah, because God's days are different than ours. One day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. So, you know, he is coming soon, but it's in his time. But I will tell you this, the signs are there. It's getting worse. It's going to get worse. The righteous, those who are us, will continue to be persecuted at an even increasing level in schools and, you know, everything. Remember, our president right now, our current sitting president, Trump, he's only going to be in office for another few years. After that, you know, we don't know. It could, you know, it could go back and be with 10 times worse, which I'm praying. That's why we got to pray, because we can change that trajectory. This is why it's important to pray, because whatever you say it can become like, it will become like, maybe we have the ability to be a body of Christ that will pray, and we have God's ear. So if we cry out and pray to God and he sees and he honors it, boom, that's right. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Absolutely. We're going to see all our loved ones. You know, that in itself is just, that's something I'm looking forward to. And I pray that the Lord would allow me to see my loved ones, if that's even possible. But even if not, that we'll be in his presence. So, I mean, I'm down for that. I'm like, Lord, be in your presence all day. But you got it today, right? You understand what I'm getting at. And if you took back anything from today, I want you to know that when you pray, believe in your prayer. Believe in what you're praying, because God will work through the prayer. God will work in your prayer. And also, I want you to go into the practice. Do not hold back anything from God. Anything. I don't care if it happened when you were 5 years old, or I don't care if it was when you were, you know, 16 or whatever, you did something and you've been holding on. Let that go. Let that go. Let God have that. Do not hold that. Give that to God. Give that whole, you know, secret to God. Let him work in that, because he will release you from the curse and the temptation and the heartache and the everything that came with that moment. Release it to God. He knows everything about you, by the way. You're not going to surprise him like, God, I did this. He's going to be like, I already knew. I've been waiting to see if you're going to confess it so I can release you from this, so that you can be free to live your life and not be in bondage. But until you confess it with your mouth, you allow the enemy, to the demonic world, to hold things on you and to keep chains on you, because you've held on to that. So I'm praying that you understand the power of prayer, number one, and that you begin to invoke prayer and know that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our city leaders. Let's pray for, most importantly, our pastors. You know, these people are us that are in ministry, us that are every day on the front line. Because I thought about this as I, you know, I'm seeing the times going by, but I thought about this when this happened. I said, that could easily be me. I could easily be disputing, talking to somebody about Christ, and somebody doesn't like it. They see a church there, they show up, and then, you know, whatever, they do harm, right? because they don't like what I'm saying. It could easily be me because I hold the truth. And it's like I told my daughter, Satan is always going to try to attack the leaders and those who have a voice. So make sure you're prayed up. Continue to pray for one another so that you would be healed. Continue to work in one another, in the form of friendship, relationships. Be there for one another. Reach out to somebody if you haven't heard from them. Hey, I haven't heard from you. Are you okay? You doing all right over there? Like, you've been a little quiet. You know, don't let them go quiet, because the devil's way of doing it is he isolates people and he shuts down their voice. He shuts down their voice. And if he can shut down your voice, then you'll never speak and receive the healing that you need. So why don't you go with me right now and let's just pray. If you would just close your eyes, or if you're driving, say, keep your eyes open. Just focus on what I'm saying. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the podcast, God. I thank you for this platform that you have allowed me to have, God. Everything is because of you, Lord. You have given me the word, God. You have put in my heart, in my spirit, what you have desired for them to know today, God. And I pray that you will let this seed, let it be planted, God, by rivers of living water, God, so that it begins to harvest and raise up, God, and to grow into something beautiful, God, that produces fruit for others, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would protect all of us that are watching, listening at whatever time. Give us spiritual protection always, my Lord. You give us also physical protection, my God. I pray that for the listener out there that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would call him to you, call her to you, God, that you would begin to show them and touch their lives and show them that you are working to touch, to receive, God, their prayers, to answer their prayers, God, that you are calling them to something greater. And for all the leaders out there, Lord, all my pastoral friends, God, all our pastor churches, God, our sister churches, God, our friends and family in Christ, God, I pray protection over them in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would protect them spiritually and physically. And I pray, God, for the believer out there, that the believer would continue to be encouraged, steadfast, immovable, God. And for those that don't know Christ, I encourage you to get to know who Jesus is. He is the best thing that would ever happen to your life, I promise you. And no matter, even if you were to die one day and you have Christ, then you will reap the eternal reward of going to heaven and being in his presence. You will not have to face condemnation. And I pray that God would call you to that, that you would see it, feel it, know it, and that you would be blessed. Hey, I thank everybody for jumping on. Thank you. Share this with somebody. You never know who it needs to reach. There's somebody out there that needs to hear this word. God bless you. Have a great Saturday. And, see you next Saturday.